Round one, fight!
The Grim Reaper Gamers are a 25 and over gaming community with members spanning the globe, playing games across all genres, but our roots are in first-person shooters. Bring your thick skin, drink of choice, and grab your controllers. GRG members are on nightly with official community nights every Wednesday. And now, it's time for the ReaperCast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grim Reaper Gamers ReaperCast. I am Johnny Hustler, your host, and we have the usual gang here tonight. Second chair, without further ado, he is wearing... You're wearing that damn Eagle shirt. I don't know, man. I mean, it's like you have hope. But
I'm kissing Jack's ass.
Oh, okay. All right. So, anyway... he is the intrepid co-host of the ReaperCast, the yin to my yang, the one who half freaking slaughters me with phrases and whatnot. So, Jammer, how the hell are you? What you drinking? What you playing?
Hey, John. How are you? It's good to talk to you finally. Take a sip of your beer. It's okay. Go ahead. No, you don't have to answer me.
You make me nervous.
We don't need to have a conversation together.
You make me nervous.
I'm drinking a Stella, and as to make Lala proud of his fellow staff members, I probably haven't played a video game in well over 2 weeks because I went away on vacation and I did absolutely nothing. I sat on a porch with a beautiful view in the mountains of Vermont. I had no electric. It was solar with a generator to back it up. I had no cell service and very limited DSL, and it was wonderful. Jack's hell, basically. So I haven't played anything. I got to figure out what the hell I want to play. Some point, or I could be like you and just tell people I'm gonna play shit and then not play it. So I'm not sure yet what I want to do, but I'm doing great.
That's good to hear. Third chair, the Grumpkin, the reddest of all Reapers. Jack, Lala Calamari, how the hell are you? What you drinking? What you playing?
I'm getting by, struggling from a late night watching Game of Thrones. I am drinking Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest. It's excellent. Go to the store, buy some if you like Oktoberfest beers. Definitely worth it.
Nothing like the month of August to bring in all the Oktober beers.
Oh, I love Oktober beers.
Hey, at least
I do too, beers. But it's like...
You don't know which ones to buy. There's so many. So many good ones. And then what am I playing right now? Unlike the rest of the staff in GRG, I actually play games. So the standard Paladins... Battlefield, some Elder Scrolls, and even the Warframe. Still playing some Warframe.
You seem to be dying out on Elder Scrolls a little bit.
Well, I'm took a break from it. I finished up a zone, and the expansion is coming out. We'll talk about that in the news coming out tomorrow. So I'll probably pick it back up then. I was didn't want to start a new zone and then the expansion come out and not hop over there. So.
He thinks it out.
But since we're also recording on a Monday night, which is different, I'll have Tuesday night free, so I'll be able to join in on the GRG Elder Scrolls night. So I'll be playing tomorrow night.
John, why are we not recording on Tuesday night?
Well, the reason we're not recording on Tuesday night is because our fantasy football draft is this Tuesday. So the draft will be over by the time this is out, but we will be drafting. I have no idea where I'm picking. I am the defending champion.
Fuck, if I remembered that, I wouldn't have said anything to him about it.
So
I watch a ton of... I love football. I watch Red Zone. I devour football. Fantasy, I just randomly... I do zero research and just pick. I mean, I kind of do a little bit during the draft, but I will do zero research in front of the draft. So Johnny's Bed of Lies, my team, may struggle this season. I'm not sure.
Well, I fully expect Jammer's Fallen Lawn Chair, my team, to once again contend.
It's not really much pride, when you're contending amongst GRG, though. You realize that, right?
Well, maybe not, but still had people saying that they could easily beat me, and I'm the freaking champ here.
Do you have a belt?
Hmm? No.
You should get a belt.
No, I don't spend my money on shit like that.
All champions have belts. Yeah, I've seen pictures.
No, not for me. Anywho, so yeah, that'll be tomorrow night's activities for some of GRG. At least a dozen of us. So as far as what I'm drinking, I have a newer beer. It is called Barn Burn. It's an amber ale. It is from a relatively new brewery in Grand Island, my hometown, Prairie Pride. So another local beer, and not bad. A little heavier but for an ale, but pretty damn tasty.
How many breweries do you have in Grand Island?
Four, I think. Well, no, there's two that are actually based out of Grand Island. The other two are based out of another town but have operations in Grand Island.
Talk about a fucking stupid business model. Let's see, where should we build our business? Grand Island, Nebraska. That's where we should build our business.
They're local craft brewers.
I mean, talk about just failing right out from the get-go.
Are you kidding me? Failing great. There's senators and lobbyists trying to make legislation against them, so...
The one thing I will say is, because we're not live anymore, so people can only hear this, they don't see the video. But just so you know, anytime John holds up a beer from Nebraska, their marketing is very smart because the labels always are in John Deere colors.
Oh, for crying out loud, they are not. The only thing I see in John Deere colors is that damn Eagles shirt.
His beer koozie is a overall.
God. All right, let's talk about community
Corn
nights.
Corn husk.
Refer to the calendar at grimreapergamers.com/events. Oh, yes, sir.
I have a question.
Oh, God.
As I grew up, when I got in trouble with my parents, sometimes I might have gotten the belt. So, like, in Nebraska, when they get in trouble, like, do you have to go out and, like, you get the corn stalk? And with the corn, without the corn, what happens?
As I was saying, go over to grimreapergamers.com/events to find the full event calendar. Of note, as usual, Wednesday nights are community nights. We have Battlefield 1 and Battlegrounds, and eventually the Destiny bug will hit once again here, probably in a couple weeks. So,
does the kid have to pick his own corn stalk out to get hit with, or like, kind of like the Switch? Oh, never mind. All right, going on. Moving on.
All right. So there's your events wrap up. As usual, grimreapergamers.com/events. Or make a post if you're playing at forums.grimreapergamers.com. Get in the forums. Find some people to play. All right. Lala, you got a rant for us?
Yes, I do. Okay, my rant is, why do people join a gaming site if they're not going to participate? You have the lurkers that sit outside, they join GRG, they sign up, they spend all this time signing up, they'll join our Discord, and never say a fucking word. I'm trying to figure out, why would somebody want to join a site, a social site, and not participate or get to know anybody and just exist? Like, we'll see on Discord, we'll see people on the forums, never say a word, never contribute to a forum post, never get involved with the gaming. I'm just trying to figure out, what in the world are they doing? Why are they doing this? And why not be part of it? Why would you join a social site and not be part of the site?
I have no opinion on this.
None?
Jammer's one tells me to boot them all. I'd boot them all. Sometimes people are, you know, lurkers that want to find information. Like, I might lurk like a TiVo forum because I'm looking for information about a TiVo. But a gaming community is a little bit different to me, where you're looking for other like-minded people to game with, and then you just sit there and don't get to know anybody. Like, I've been friends with John for a long time. I've been yelled at by Lala for quite some time. I've been friends with Rev a long time. I've developed friendships with people, but I did that by talking and not just sitting there. But they're probably afraid of Lala.
Probably. You know, and we have people that are quiet, that don't participate in the forums or Discord, but game with us on a typical Wednesday night or hop into games with us. They're just quiet. And that's fine. I mean, but at least they're gaming with us. I mean, I think they may not be that interested in chatting or bullshitting, but they want to play with people that are a similar mindset. But I just never figure out why somebody joins the site. Our forum's like wide open, so they can kind of see what we're about and just not ever participate or even post anything past an intro. A lot of times they're probably better off just going to an LFG site or Reddit and just looking for a group for that evening if that's what they want.
The best part is that these lurkers won't yell at us or email us or anything because they don't talk. So we can rip them and they're not going to say anything.
Well, look at my friends. My friends list is over 500 plus or whatever now, and you add these people in and just never hear from. It's just I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you're not interested in being part of a community, then check out LFG sites. That's probably a better fit.
You know, Grex is away, so we probably could boot a ton of people without him being the nice guy.
He'll yell at me in about 2 weeks when he returns. So. And there's my dogs.
They don't like lurkers either.
No, they hate lurkers too.
The dogs are done lurking. Bow wow wow.
Hey, John.
Yes.
We had an email.
We did.
What's that? What email address?
That would be reapercast@grimreapergamers.com.
So hopefully his dogs are done barking because it's directed at him. Nail Bunny asked a question. If Lala doesn't... Well, he did this wrong. Oh, no, he did. If Lala doesn't enjoy bad acting, then why does he watch so much soccer? Please answer your email.
There's a lot of cute girls in the stands. And the beer's good.
He was drinking Foster's for a while, so he's lying about that part.
Okay, but I can afford those season tickets.
Okay. All right, well, we had an email, so, you know, I wanted to make sure we got it on the air.
And just a reminder, well, that's reapercast@grimreapergamers.com.
And last of all, I mean, it's an excellent excuse to go to that wonderful downtown section, Chester, PA. It's a lovely, lovely section of Philly. Beautiful.
Not even in Philly.
No, not even in Philly, but close.
20 miles out.
That's right there.
Yeah.
Well, all you right, know, speaking of Philly, we'll talk more about brotherly love later, so.
Ooh.
Hey, look at that.
See if anybody figures out what the topic is there.
That's a professional right there.
Oh, my.
All right, let's talk about some gaming news. Call of Duty World War II beta, it's wrapping up for the PS4 tonight, or it might have actually been this afternoon that it wrapped up.
Vikes has been playing on the PS4, and he's really loving it. He gave it a big thumbs up.
Yeah, he's giving good reviews so far. So kind of looking forward to this. See what I've seen on Twitch is pretty cool. 9/1 through 9/4, September 1st through 4th, that is, for Xbox One and PS4. That's the second wave of the beta.
I need to buy a PS4.
Yeah, now they also implementing a lot of changes. So the beta for PS4, they saw a lot of things, some balance issues. And while they probably aren't going to be in effect for the Xbox and PC beta, they will be set for go live. So like I know some of the things were like they increased the points for kills and domination from 50 to 100. And then they increased team deathmatch from 75 kills to win to 100. But they're also looking at adding some strange things. Like they're at bumper jumper controller config for Call of Duty, which I thought was odd. I mean, that's a Halo thing, but I don't know if there's much call for it. But yeah, they're adding, it looks like the beta actually, because I don't think they really need to test their servers. I mean, they've been doing Call of Duty for a while. They kind of know how to handle the load, what kind of servers they need. So I don't think that's ever going to be an issue with Call of Duty with this current engine. But it was nice to see they got some balancing things to work on and going to get squared away for the go live. So
I think you see that a lot in the Call of Duty betas, that it's more about balancing and tweaking this and that before launch. more than the netcode, even though sometimes the netcode does need some work.
It definitely does.
Yeah, it seems the bigger focus is balance with these betas.
Yep.
So,
which is kind of odd because, like, from my understanding of how they handle betas, is that's usually a different set of the game. So beta may be one version of the game, and the actual go live versions is different. I don't think they run in parallel, the code, but I'm not a coder, so I blame the software guys. That's what I do.
We blame users. Anyway. So yeah, next weekend, Labor Day weekend, will be the beta for the final beta for Call of Duty World War II.
I don't know if they did this for PS4, but I don't know if they give you extra keys. I'm hoping sometimes they give out like three keys, so you have one and then you get extra. So if they do, hopefully we can give them out. We'll put them on the forums. So we'll create a forum post.
From what Unobtainable said, he had a few keys. Now, they were region locked, so it didn't help much on this end. But he said he had a few keys, so it sounds like they do give a couple extras. I guess we'll find out for sure for September. So NBA 2K8. Has a bit of a cover issue, something they didn't quite anticipate. Kyrie Irving is currently in a Cavs uniform because he played for the Cavs until shortly after the cover announcement when he got traded to the Celtics, or possibly not. It sounds like that may not have gone through yet. There may be some complication.
Well, so actually, they announced that a while ago, but the trade was recent. I'm sure they started panicking when he first started complaining that he wanted to be traded. But Isaiah Thomas, who's one of the players that got traded to the Cavaliers, has this hip issue. And so he's not going to go back because it's just too much drama between teams. But I like what 2K is doing. I mean, obviously at launch, because I pre-ordered, so I have early access. I think September around the 15th is when I can start playing it. So they're very close to launching the game. So the ones that are shipping out have him in the Cavaliers jersey, but they will transition it to a Celtics jersey and change the cover. And this is a good thing about nowadays, with games being so online centric now. If you think about like 15 years ago, if this had happened, you couldn't get a roster update, like on a PS2 or whatever back in the day.
You had to manually do it yourself.
You'd had to do it yourself. So now at least there'll be like a day one roster update. And 2K is really good at updating rosters all the time. And there's ones you can download out there. The people add in the draft class and do all this shit, and you can find those rosters. So it's nice that they're trying to make it right by having them in the right uniform. It's just unfortunate that they won't be able to do it by launch.
Yeah, and where I screwed up my timeline is that Irving started bitching that he wanted to be traded shortly after the cover reveal. It wasn't the trade that happened shortly after. It was him starting to complain and want out. That was where when the whole trade talk started. So
yeah, I canceled my digital pre-order, so the cover that I don't get with the game won't match, so I had a problem with that. I mean, you think about with the covers, shit, GameStop still exists and everything, but more and more people go to more and more digital. Does it matter? Covers aren't the same anymore. Most people get digital copies.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter for anybody buying digital. I mean, one quick patch, boom, he's in a Celtics uniform.
Yeah, new graphic, yeah.
So, Grand Theft Auto Online, Smuggler's Run comes out the 29th, which will be tomorrow as of this recording time. Smuggler's Run is content featuring Nervous Ron, who's on edge looking for someone to help take over his smuggling empire due to recent events. They're going to open up air corridors over Los Santos and Blaine counties through the use of various aircraft, helicopters, ultralights, and the like to smuggle contraband. Also, new ways to eliminate gang competition. So some more smuggling, gun-running style stuff for GTA Online coming out again, still supporting the big moneymaker.
John, yeah. September 17th, 2013, for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. November 18th, 2014 for PlayStation and Xbox One.
I was going to say, right around launch with the two new, with the one and the PS4.
And April 14th, 2015 for Windows. So the game initially launched 4 years ago, and they're still pumping content out to that game.
And they're still pumping in cash.
Yeah, shark cards. The price of shark cards. It's just... Because this is going to be like a plane-centric game or an aircraft-centric game mode. They're going to be selling all these, I guess, fancy airplanes, helicopters, what have you. And you know, sure as shit, they're going to be 2 million, 5 million. Mm-hmm. So if you want to fly in a fancy gold-plated plane, pay $50 in shark cards and you'll have it.
I don't knock them because they've done it right, though. They have kept the game. We talk about all the time, Battlefield especially. How a game, they didn't put out the DLC, and eventually it just whittles away. The chart goes, and it just goes away, and then eventually there's a small user base playing the game. They have kept that game relevant for 4 years. And that's really amazing with video games when you think about it.
I just wish it, I hope it doesn't hamper the next GTA, because I'm looking for something that, I know one of our frustrations with this game is just getting together in a lobby and to play the game without crashing or having server issues. And it just, even just to load the game, it becomes a chore. I know I'm whining about something small, but it works fine now. But I would like to see a game that's designed from the ground up to be online. Mm-hmm. Like, I really think the next version of GTA will be something that's, you create your online character, it is all online, and you can go do story missions while online or co-op with your friends. I think that's that direction. They'll take the next one. Maybe. I don't know.
Just kudos to them, though, man. Mm-hmm. That game is still relevant.
Yeah, I don't... You know, I'm having a hard time reading which way they are actually going to go with that, I think. Because on the one hand, Jack, you make a good point. They're, you know, a fully online MMO style GTA. But I'm also wondering if it's just going to be... that the next GTA is going to be story-based only and just add to the existing GTA Online, maybe some improvements. Maybe you'll see Online 2.0 as a result. But I just don't know that they're going to abandon what they've got out there now with that player base. I mean, it's just, it's huge. It's still thriving because of what they pumped into it.
Oh, when they come out with the next one, that player base will move.
Well, I'm just wondering if they'll have to. I mean, it might just be an expansion, maybe a whole new city for online.
Yeah.
Vice City. Bring back the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Vice City Online would be such a blast. Spend 10 hours just blurring Sunny and Crockett Phil Collins. Days. All right. We mentioned this the last show. This is the... Elder Scrolls Online Horns of the Reach. It is coming to the consoles on the 29th, this Tuesday. So the PC, formerly PC only, DLC is now going to hit consoles.
Yeah, and this is another one that continues to pump out the DLC.
Yep.
They just had the big expansion, and now they have this. I mean, these zones, even though this is a smaller DLC, not like the expansion, it's still going to take quite a bit of time to go through. There's a couple dungeons to run through, just all the content and story mode to do. It gives you it offers you a lot, and it'll keep you playing for quite a bit. I'm hoping to get a group of GRG to run through the dungeons tomorrow.
Very nice. And yes, they have supported that game well. So, and finally, in gaming news, Destiny's PC beta finally goes live. So, PC players, your turn to play the Destiny beta.
I will. The open beta is, this won't be out for a couple of days, but it's Tuesday the 29th. I'm hopefully going to have some time to play it a little bit. I think if you pre-ordered it, you could preload the beta. I think actually if you pre-order it, the beta is already live. But tomorrow they're going to get tested a lot because all the other schmucks that haven't pre-ordered, like me, have to download the beta all tomorrow. So there's going to be a ton of people downloading tomorrow, even though I guess on the other side, probably a lot of people already pre-ordered that game.
Yeah, there's probably quite a bit of pre-order. I mean, at least as far as PC goes. So, and there's your gaming news. So,
speaking of Destiny, I got to throw a post up about the Destiny clans for GRG. I had to go through and kind of clear them out. We had a ton of people on there, and unfortunately, Destiny or Bungie doesn't like large communities, so they limit clans to up to 100 people. So we were like 150, and I had to clean out the group because they're going to convert our group over to a clan. So I cleaned it up to like 30 people, and I'll throw a post up. If people are interested in joining the Xbox or the PS4, there'll be two separate clans, one for each, and you'll just have to just reapply. So if you were kicked from it, it's just I had to do maintenance. I had to clean house and get us under 100 so we could be converted.
And we're still at 100.
I'm sorry. It's absolutely amazing to me that Bungie, who people love and, you know, social, they're very been good with matchmaking, you know, all the way back, and that they would limit a large community is confusing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still locked on that magical 100 from last gen. Why?
There's no reason for it.
Yeah, it's dumb. Dumb. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wrapping up the gaming news, let's head to our topic tonight. We are going to take a little bit different direction. A warning. If you have not seen Game of Thrones Season 7, if you are behind, if you're trying to catch up through HBO Go or HBO Now, if you just haven't gotten to the finale, turn back now. You have been warned. There will be spoilers. We are talking about the season. We are talking about the finale. Don't bitch.
Or if you do bitch, PM Johnny or Jammer.
You know what? I'm giving you the Nelson laugh. If you just listen to that disclaimer and decide to keep going on, you deserve to know that you're going to get the season spoiled. Tough shit. So, I'm sorry. I mean, I can't say it enough. If you have not seen the finale, shut it off.
Well, this is one of the games. Wait 2 weeks. We'll have a show for you. This is one of the shows that you really can't DVR.
No.
And, you know, it's so popular. People want to talk about it that you kind of got to watch it when it airs. Otherwise, you really risk the chance of getting spoiled.
Where are you going? You can't touch social media.
Have we moved forward past the spoiler part so I can say something?
Say it. We're past the spoilers. Okay.
All right. So what does get me, though, is when you're in a situation, like when I was on vacation, I had no chance last week of streaming that episode, the one before,
mm-hmm.
Right? I know people last night that couldn't get to it or whatever, and there does need to be a little bit, especially social media, understanding that not everybody could have seen it immediately. And so if you just blurt out and all you do and you're not spoiling it, but you put in a post, Littlefinger, and that's it. Well, that's still fucking spoiling it. They know you can put two and two together. Something major fucking happened. He's probably dead. So that burns me is like, I'm very careful about those type of things. I'll be like, wow, great episode or something like that. But give people at least a day or two to try and catch up. I mean, this is a show you really cannot, you can't go on the internet.
No,
especially the show airs, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm. Especially the pace they're heading this season. It's just rapid fire.
Oh God.
There's so much going on. There's a lot. Yeah. I didn't get to watch the show until like an hour after it aired, and I'm watching just alerts from GRG's thread popping up, like the Chrome notifications. I'm like, oh, stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm going down to watch it now.
Yeah.
So, you know, assholes do that, and they're like, well, I didn't spoil anything. Well, yeah, you kind of did, jackass. I mean, I already watched it, so it didn't bother me. But
see, I like to
know other people that didn't.
I often try to keep mine to, holy shit, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, that kind of stuff, you know, so that people just realize, oh, shit, something happened, but I ain't telling them.
I can vouch for that during Walking Dead when I used to have my DVR, and I'd be 15 minutes behind, and I would receive a text from said Mr. Hustler with, holy shit, and I'd be like, no, I'm behind. And he goes, oh, well, wait 15 minutes from now.
I didn't tell you what happened, though, did I?
Is that a lie?
No, that's not a lie, but I still didn't tell you what happened.
You've done it more than once to me.
Anyway.
Hey, you know what? Oh, my gods and holy shits are fair game. That doesn't tell you what happened. So, okay.
Yes, it does.
Last chance. Turn back now if you have not heard, not seen the show.
Too late. Jon
Snow dies.
Well, I'm just giving, you know, there's going to be some straggler to say, I haven't seen the show, but what the hell?
PM Johnny.
Okay, so let's, okay, in no particular order, we're going to talk about some of the biggest moments of the season finale and the season as a result. So, you know, this isn't necessarily our preference as far as least to greatest, greatest to least, whatever. But we're just going to talk about various things. First thing I have on the list here, did we find a weakness? Does Cersei have a heart regarding her siblings? Twice in that show, she had the ability to off her brothers, and she did not do it. She backed off. She got her bluff called. I was a little surprised. I expected one of them to die.
You're reading the Tyrion situation wrong there. She couldn't kill Tyrion because she was using Tyrion as a pawn, hence patting the stomach so he realizes she's pregnant. So that way her whole ploy of them believing that she's going to fight by their side, she had to let Tyrion live. There was no choice in that one.
Right.
Because okay, if not, game's over.
But the fact of the matter is, she still had the chance to kill Jaime off, too.
She loves him, though. She likes, she likes his cock.
Yeah, she wouldn't kill him off. There's no reason to.
But her whole persona has been around, she'll kill anybody. I mean, let's face it. She wasn't even all that attached to some of her children, namely Tommen. She didn't seem all that attached to, because as soon as he seemed to be, enamored with Margaery's tits, she kind of started turning on him big time. So, you know.
Yeah, and that episode where she got the corn stalk, hit him with it. Yeah.
But here's another train of thought. I mean, you see how the Stark family, I don't want to go into that yet, but they stick together, yet the family stick together. The show repeats itself a lot. And the Lannisters could very well be the same way. I don't entirely believe Tyrion's as good as everybody thinks he is. Maybe they work something out behind the scenes. We don't know what that end conversation was. She sent Euron out, Euron Greyjoy. He supposedly left because he was scared, but she sent him out to go get the Golden Army. So she's playing all these different angles. You don't know which way she's coming and going. And even the Jaime thing could be a setup. So we don't know. I think that the Lannisters will stick together regardless. I don't think Tyrion wants to harm her or see her killed, and maybe working with her. You know, I think we'll see next season.
See, I see Jaime turning after this. I think Jaime is done.
I think with Jaime is, I expected Cersei to go full Mad King this season, which she really didn't. She kind of backed off from her craziness, killing everybody. She's just a nasty bitch, but she's not that wildfire blowing up the Sept person anymore. I was kind of expecting her to continually get worse and worse and worse, and eventually Jaime, being the Kingslayer, would now be the Queenslayer. But I don't know if that'll still happen. They sort of backed off of that.
I got a good one for you. This is like next season type stuff. Jaime gets killed and becomes a White Walker, and like they make it to King's Landing, and Cersei sees Jaime.
It still fulfills the possible prophecy.
Like that, see?
That prophecy where she supposedly has a sibling kill her.
I'm dropping the mic.
That's an interesting one. That's an interesting one.
I just came up with that too. No fucking notes for me.
You know, I don't know. I think maybe we might have found her limit somewhat. Maybe not completely, but I don't think she quite has it in her to fully kill off her family.
I think Tyrion would have been dead if she wasn't playing a game.
Yeah.
Maybe on him, but you know, the Jaime thing, she's pissed off. She told him, do not cross me again. He called her bluff, and for now, it looks like he's won that bluff. I think he's going to be done with Cersei once he gets a hold of the tall chick.
Is he going to make monster babies?
No.
Great big monster babies.
That's Tormund. And you know, he survived that.
He better survive because they need to make monster babies.
Yeah, yes, I like Tormund. God, that'll suck if he didn't survive. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay, so you mentioned the Starks, Jack. So we're now over, you know, next on the list is Sansa, Arya, and Littlefinger. And that whole thing. I still have a few reservations about how they executed that, but the scene at the end, the scene where Sansa and Arya turned on Littlefinger, revealed that they were not buying his bullshit, and the eventual death of Littlefinger, the begging, all that, so well done.
Yeah. I will say, actually, the actor, Aidan Gillen, how he played that, all the emotions that he ran through during that scene was very well acted, how, you know, he went from being smug and then like, whoa, type of thing. I like the season. Part of my problem with the season is it became a lot more TV-ish in a sense with knowing how writers are and seeing things coming. And I watched Game of Thrones last night with a coworker of mine, and I said that I thought Littlefinger was going to get killed last night. And there were just too many pieces of the puzzle of them forcing the Arya versus Sansa shit that I just saw the path that they were going. Arya is not, if she's really snooping with how she is, she's not going to be seen like by Littlefinger, like in that scene when he's handing the piece of paper over. It was all set up. That was very TV, normal TV show written to me, that whole plot line, where it became too predictable to me that they were going to do the bait and switch at the end.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think once they got past the actual stories and had to rely on the writers coming up with the content, the quality of the show has declined. It's not as good as it once was. And it's definitely shown with this Arya, Sansa, Littlefinger storyline, story arc. Ed, first of all, I don't understand. Littlefinger was the one that set the entire Game of Thrones series of events. He set it all off. He was the one that got Elisa, what's her name, the moon, the lady from the Vale, to poison her husband. Then he got Ned Stark to go down to King's Landing. He set Ned Stark up, so he kept rising to his position of power. I'm not quite sure why he stayed in Winterfell all this season, and what did he gain from it, other than just to kind of wrap this storyline up. It seems like they lost any sort of area for this guy to go. It was very predictable. Anybody that thought that Arya and Sansa were going to fight each other was just, I don't know, just dumb.
I will add, and I'm sorry, John, I'll let you get in because you're not saying anything, even though you're the host, so you just stay quiet. But with the faceless people, that does throw a whole dynamic in there then, because you're never sure. Are they playing the flim flam? You know, when Littlefinger was talking to Sansa in the room, you know, somebody said that's probably Arya. So there is that part of the guessing game to it, but it, you know, I still enjoyed it, but I saw the pieces of the puzzle too easily.
I will say they definitely made that storyline way too predictable. And I think we're going to, I think we're going to maybe discuss a little bit. There's going to be a little bit of a thread of fan service going on here too, as well as we get into some of these other topics. I think one thing they did, that whole scene that was confusing last week between Sansa and Arya, I think would have been better explained if we had seen Littlefinger spying. And then it would be a little more blatant that, yeah, they were putting on a show for Littlefinger here. I think one thing that they really... That's one thing they messed up on. And the other thing I think they messed up on is I think they really never stated well enough how much he was obsessed with Sansa after Catelyn died. And mm-hmm. I think that's where the whole staying in Winterfell came into place, why he stayed in Winterfell, although that was never his real intention, never how he really operated. His obsession with Sansa after losing Catelyn seemed to push him into some non-characteristic things.
Yeah, but then he sold her to Ramsay.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't.
I never said he was good at being obsessed or, you know, at loving somebody. He sucks at it. But
I kind of thought his obsession was more based on gaining power. And this season, they really did a poor job of portraying him and putting him in into a decent story. And then they kind of ended him just like, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to start cutting down some people. So bye-bye, Littlefinger, you're out. When he was the one that initiated season one, and it was just kind of a weak send-off. Yeah, we got to kill him because we got to kill him. Okay, whatever. Very predictable, very weak. And I was, my question now is, so you have Sansa and Arya. What role do they serve in season eight? Do they have any role? Like, she's going to be Lady of Winterfell. Other than the White Walkers come knocking at her door, is she going to have any purpose for any storyline for next year? And Arya, I guess she's still got a few people to kill, but it's getting kind of tedious at this point.
Well, I think at this point, the Stark family goes back to power in the North. I mean, because we'll talk a little bit later about what happens to Jon Snow, but I think really you see Sansa and Arya, you know, the Stark family taking power in the North once again as a result of all this and other things exposed in the season finale.
John, as a host, you screwed up before we started this segment. We should have had a disclaimer that Lala hates everything. So therefore, his opinion would be negative the entire discussion.
Do we need that disclaimer for our viewers, our listenership?
Well, it's not entirely negative, but I was not a fan of that storyline, and I'm not a fan of obviously the pacing of this season. It just seems like we spent six seasons building up this great big story, only to have, you know, seven episodes to just to cram it all down our throats. And you know, it's any more if you blink your eye, you're missing a major plot point, and a lot of it's just so unbelievable.
This does bring me to a sub point here I have with the Sansa Arya Littlefinger point topic. I think what this finale showed us is what was kind of missing in the season a lot, and what Game of Thrones still does best, and that's the interpersonal dialogues. The meeting between Tyrion and Cersei. The meeting between, you know, Bronn and Jaime, Bronn and Tyrion, Jaime and Cersei, Sansa, Arya and Littlefinger, you know, it all came down to the dialogue interaction and stuff. We didn't have a whole lot of that this season because of the accelerated schedule. And I think that's something we've really missed in Game of Thrones. And it was really blatant in the finale, because I still think those are the points that shined, especially the Lannisters, when they were all interacting with each other. They flat stole the episode, I thought. You know,
well, Tyrion and Cersei, that conversation was so tense. And even like after she backs down from killing him, he goes gets a glass of wine because he's got to take a deep breath, you know.
Yeah, he about shit himself.
It's kind of how you felt. Yeah, well, that's how I felt. You're watching like, oh shit, he's going to get sliced. And because you never know in this show. Yeah.
The dialogue's always been top notch. To me in all the seasons. And like you said, the interactions. I mean, the one thing now that they're kind of, and I felt more, not this, the finale, but the episode previously, that they really crammed a ton of shit into one episode. And that was tough for me. I mean, the whole traveling thing when they're stuck in that little island for what's his name to be running, and then the Raven, and she just happens to be, you know, and there's no predictability there. She's getting on a dragon and she's wearing a fucking like winter gown. So, you know, like she all of a sudden just happens to have winter clothes when there's never winter. So there's some things like that where I'm like, you know,
but that was the Fonzie jumping the shark scene of the series. It was when she comes up there with the dragon and start blowing apart all those, the undead, I'm just thinking she's Fonzie with a leather jacket and a life preserver on jet skis jumping over the shark. I that was kind of weak. And
but they had to do that because that way they could get, we'll get to the topic, but that way the Walker King, you know, could have.
Well, we can go right dragon. To it. It's next on our list. The scene at the wall.
Well, that's where they could have spread this out to 10 episodes and made it more of a understandable pace. And probably
it's costing
better written.
Them so much money, though.
And I mean, I think that's where it's coming down to is I think it's coming down to cost, because let's face it, that scene at the wall couldn't have been cheap. I mean, the damn dragon just blowing everything to shit.
It can't cost them too much where they're going to make five prequels. So
yeah, not with these actors' salaries and everything.
Oh, sure, sure. They want to get these guys on. But
yeah, they're going back to unknown actors for a lot of that shit. Mm-hmm. Let them build up. So here's my question. Okay, we're to the wall, the dragon, the zombie dragon now, or the Nightwalker's dragon.
And he had holes in his wings. That was awesome. I love that touch.
Yeah, holes in his wings deteriorating. I thought that was a nice effect. That was something I noticed right away.
Well, I did notice that. And my question is it going to deteriorate fast enough where it doesn't have wings, or that's just for to show that he's undead? You know,
this is the world of Lala. Everybody can know.
Yeah, I got a question. I got to look at it and see.
No, I think you're right, and I think this is the extent, because then, you know, it's like the horse. You know, the horse is missing half its face and shit like that. You know, it never deteriorated further after that. It's just the undead look for Mr. Ed.
And while I'm bitching about the dragons, can someone make a fucking saddle for that? Could you imagine trying to hold on to those scales and this thing's flying around like doing loops in the air? How the hell is he staying on there?
Or do you think one of those spikes is going?
Hmm. Hey, now.
There's how you get the Lego treatment right there. okay. So
there's your answer.
So was that fire? Was that ice? Was that a combination of? You know, I mean,
I think it was just like magic fire, like kind of like, you know, when they had the wildfire that blew up the sept, it was green.
Mm-hmm.
This was just kind of Night King magic fire that whatever.
See, Lala's an expert on this because he reads tween romance books. So
yes, I do. and I played Guild Wars. So,
well, the reason why I ask is a lot of people wondered, you know, the Song of Ice and Fire, you know, were the dragons, the contrast in dragons, was that going to be ice and fire? And, well, and, you know, some things look like flame, some aspects look like ice. You know, it was just hard to tell there, and it almost seemed like a combination.
You could say that has to do about Jon Snow, and the same with the title of the show, The Dragon and the Wolf was the title of the episode. And originally, when you first saw it, you're thinking, okay, the dragon is Daenerys, and the wolf, obviously, Jon Stark.
Yep.
But as we find out, the great reveal of who Jon Stark is, he is the dragon and the wolf. And as he told Theon earlier, that he's a Greyjoy, but he's also a Stark. He grew up in the Stark family. They'll come back to repeat that into Jon Snow, since now he is confirmed Targaryen.
Yep. Now, okay, so what do we want to talk about first? Theon, Greyjoy, or do we want to talk about the big say? Let's talk about Theon. This one's a little bit, I think we should close on Snow.
Okay.
And Daenerys. Okay, so you have this cock versus cockless discussion.
Well, that I will say, though, Jack has bitched about the Russian stuff, rushing through stuff. There has been, and some of them are convenient, like the Hound and the Mountain and stuff. The reunions have kind of have taken place the past few episodes. There's been some great back and forth. The previous episode, when the little crew's going out there to go catch their walker,
mm-hmm.
and some of the dialogue going back and forth was just very entertaining, like the monster babies that we joked about.
That stuff between the Hound and Tormund was just gold.
The Bronn Jamie conversation very early in the finale episode, where they're talking about how all their soldiers are cockless, and then the cock versus the cockless, and why are you fighting if you don't have you're fighting for pussy, basically, is what Bronn's saying. I mean, it was so fun. It was like you could see two guys like having that type of conversation. So it was really well done and entertaining, and it brings a little bit of humor to it too. But speaking of cockless, go ahead, John.
Well, Theon Greyjoy. Okay, here's the question I have on that scene. He gets kicked in the junk and no reaction.
That's what I loved about that scene.
No, that's what I loved about it, but I thought Ramsay's only took the dick. I didn't realize he took the whole damn set.
The cock and balls.
You know, because, I mean, what did he do? He waved the sausage in that classic little... That classic little visual in season one.
You think he still had his balls?
I thought he just took the one part. I mean, you know, I figured he just took, you know, he was waving the sausage around. I guess I just figured he just lopped off the manhood. He didn't touch anything else. He just...
Here's my problem with this. Like, and I'm going to bitch and moan about Theon. He kind of annoyed me. So he spent all this time dealing with Theon. Theon betrays the Starks, does all that nonsense, gets caught. He gets tortured by Ramsay, blah, blah, blah. This whole time, you feel like he's being set up to be this guy that at the end commits this selfless act to sacrifice himself to protect the good guys. So I just waiting for this moment when he finally gets this backbone, stands up and accepts, you know, fate, and he goes in there and saves the good guys and winds up dying. And this episode, he goes off to save his sister that no one cares about. No one cares about the Greyjoys. That whole story, I'm going to go save my sister. Okay, good for you. Have fun with that. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but the dialogue explains it very well, why he feels like he has to.
I just think that we've seen... I don't think that it furthers the plot or the story at all, other than just to kind of take your attention away from the main stars.
But wait. See, now you went and said earlier that this episode, that this season has not done the slower pace, branching off with different people. Like earlier seasons, one through, what the fuck was a seven, right?
Yeah.
One through six. One of the things was, you know, like a normal sitcom has an A plot and then a B plot, the secondary plot, right? A lot of dramas have maybe an A, B, sometimes a C because it's an hour long plot, an hour long show. The beauty of Game of Thrones is there was like A through G, and sometimes they wouldn't get the G, but you had all these different things going on. So your complaint about this past season is that they basically only had like an A and B plot. And now they're saying, okay, well, this guy's going to go do this, but you have a problem with that part because it's not moving forward the A and B plot.
Well, maybe if we had three or four more episodes to flesh it out. I just felt that his character was so terrible and so rotten. He betrayed the Starks that raised him, took care of him, and taught him how to be a man, that he would have redeemed himself better in Jon Snow's eyes. Where, say, they were at the wall fighting the Night King, ready to die. He was the one to hold the Night King back while they escaped or something. I just felt that that's how his character was always being set up, even in the books, because they really dwell on his story in the books. And then just to see him kind of go off the seat, save Yara, like, and she's not that important on the TV show.
She's a lesbian. She's very important to us.
Her girlfriend is in some cell right now. So, okay. And I also have a few other characters I want to bitch about that are just killing the story and taking up screen time. So we have Ser Jorah, master of the friend zone. Now, I'm trying to understand his purpose of the show. They brought him back. The guy was dying. He had grayscale, whatever. And the only thing his purpose this year has been is getting his scab picked off by Sam. Like there's been no he has no value in the show at the moment. He's offering no sort of input. He's not making any sort of decisions or doing anything worthwhile. I'm not quite sure why they felt the need to bring him back. Maybe do something a little bit more in season eight. Everything he's mentioned to Daenerys, she shoots down. And she's like, hey, screw you. You're just Jorah, you know. The other one is Gendry. So they went through all this trouble bring back Gendry. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, they always talk about him being like this blacksmith. He's going to learn with Sam how to create Valyrian steel and blah, 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 and build swords for the army to protect them from the undead. No, he just makes a big hammer, goes up to the wall, and runs back. His job is to be in the fastest guy in the group of seven. So he gets to run back. That was his job. So did they really need to bring Gendry back just for that? I mean, they could just had a wilding or somebody in, or just a ranger, just one of the guys from the Night's Watch. I mean,
I guess maybe they were tying the loose ends because you knew that he was a bastard son of Robert. Like in this, like season one, I think. Doesn't Ned go see him?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since he went on the little rowboat and left, but I'm not quite sure the need to bring him back. They really didn't have to bring him back. I don't know. They're just two of the characters. I'm like, there's no value in them at the moment.
One thing I could see with Theon, I'm starting to wonder if his quest to save his sister doesn't fuck up Cersei's plan for Euron to bring the mercenaries back to King's Landing. I'm wondering if that doesn't screw that all up for her.
Here's an interesting thing with the mercenaries. What's her boyfriend from over there in Essos? Darius or whatever, the guy with the naked lady sword? Mm-hmm. Isn't he a Golden Company soldier? He was part of the Golden Company, wasn't he? I believe he was. So
yeah, you I might be right.
She's going to bring the Golden Company over, and he's going to just walk him right over to the Daenerys' side. I think that's going to be kind of interesting.
So, okay. So that brings us to the big thing, the arguably biggest thing out of the episode. And maybe this with the dragon, the zombie dragon taking down the wall. R plus L equals J confirmed. So, or maybe R plus L equals A in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Aegon Targaryen, which wasn't there another?
Yes.
Yes,
there was. Targaryen. There was a few. He named his other sons Aegon. And there was also one in the previous history of Game of Thrones, Aegon the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, once again, where Game of Thrones like three repeats itself. Aegon the Conqueror took a divided Westeros and formed King's Landing, where all seven kingdoms were ruled peacefully under his rule. Kind of like where we're at now, where it's a mess in Westeros, and Jon Snow or Aegon Targaryen come in and control all seven kingdoms, and everybody be happy again.
So through the process, I thought it was well done. It was
that scene.
It was the mixing of Sam and Bran. I mean, and mixing the scenes with Jon and Daenerys in there and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Here's one thing with Sam and Bran. Sam and Bran.
We got a Bran Samwell episode.
Yeah, is Bran Samwell's Google? He's like, he basically asked, you know.
He's Alexa. Married?
Hold on a second. So, yeah. Hey, Bran is now Google.
Siri.
Now, you said, though, John, that's the big thing. True, it's the big thing, but it's the one thing that all of us fucking knew.
Yes, it is. Well, except for, I think, the one curve they threw in there is that Snow is not a bastard, like everybody thought
Snow,
he was.
He's not a Sand.
Not a Snow, not
I
a Sand.
I always figured that he was Targaryen all the way and not a bastard.
Oh, see, I thought he's just a bastard of a different name.
All right. Yeah.
But, and I think a lot of people thought that until, you know, you get the hint from Gilly, and then apparently somewhere in that trip, Sam actually read the diary. And then, you know, asked Siri about the whole thing. Yes. Have expect Bran to come up. So
I'd say the name, but I don't want my Amazon Echo to wake up.
So and the comment I have in here is that Jon and Daenerys, or Aegon and Daenerys, wound up doing it Lannister style.
Not fully, though.
Sitting in a tree, KISSING.
Here's a good question now. This is for the sickness of GRG, we need to have a couple discussions on the forums. One, did Reek still have his balls or not? That's one discussion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one, what's worse, twin brother and sister fucking, or an aunt and her nephew fucking?
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think the factor is going to come into play with Jon and Daenerys because of the fact that they're going to find out later. And by the way, if they don't somehow figure out how to get Maury Povich in there to let Jon Snow know that he is actually Daenerys's nephew, I will be pissed.
I'm trying to, but see, I think out of the two, twin brother and sister, like at least these two. They don't know, you know, like Jaime and Cersei certainly know their brother and sister. And I mean, they're even in the fucking womb at the same time. So that probably should win as being worse.
Yeah.
Than the aunt and the nephew fucking.
Well, that's one of the things they, that bonds them together is they shared the womb together. They even mentioned that a few times. Obviously, they're a little bit creepy. No one's normal in Game of Thrones.
No, it's not. It's not even close. But
my biggest complaint was at the beginning of the episode, you saw the big sign that said nudity. I think we got robbed, and I'm very, very upset at it. I mean, you did get to see Jon Snow's butt, but...
Oh, great. Thanks. That's,
it goes back to the Sons of Mother Dragon showing no tits.
Nah.
That's the Sons of Anarchy trick. They always said nudity, and then all of a sudden, and then it's Jax's ass every time.
Yeah. With that awful motorcycle club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, no tits from her. Your side tit. That's
side
it.
Boob.
First season when she was an unknown actress, man, her tits were on that screen any 2 seconds that they could have put them on there.
Here we get robbed. Another complaint with the episode.
By the way, a major lack of titty throughout the season. Yeah.
No, hardly any tits in the season.
See, this is what I say. Get rid of Theon's story and show boobies.
More boobs. Less ballless, more boobs.
There's a lot of ballless people in that show.
Yeah. Shoot, a whole army of them.
Whole army. You got Varys.
Okay, now that we got off topic. So here's the thing, though, now. So going into the next season, right, this is going to cause a big rift between the two of them. Because he's truly the heir to the throne.
He's the actual heir. He is. And
he is the heir, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with Daenerys and him and how they work that out. Or if she's happy or if now she's like, fuck, I've been trying to get this throne this whole time and you're going to waltz in here now and get it?
Yeah, it's going to be a major problem.
His new name's going to be Jon Ash.
The other thing that was with the sex scene was you had Tyrion outside creeping on him.
Yeah.
He didn't look very happy, did he? I mean, he was pretty upset about that. I don't know if he was upset because he loves Daenerys or if he knows something or he's plotting something. I'm not quite sure what his
The little recap thing they do at the end of the episode. I didn't see this, but I read an article about it. I didn't watch the very end thing, production recap stuff. But apparently his whole thing was that he said Tyrion is more worried about how this is going to end up because as Peter Dinklage put it, romance never ends well in Game of Thrones.
Can't even get married in Game of Thrones without shit happening.
Red Wedding.
Okay, I got a question before we end this topic. Do you feel that this season 7 was too much fan service? We've talked about this privately a few times. I think we've talked about this on the forums a couple times, forums.grimreapergamers.com. Do you feel there was too much fan service? Too much, you got us, you caught us, you figured it out type of stuff?
I still enjoyed the season. Like I said, I felt it was more written like a TV show rather than a Martin book that you never fucking know at any second who's dying and what's that. I mean, shit, with Martin, when Jamie went into that water in that fucking armor, that there's no chance in hell he's coming out of that water. In a Martin book, he might have been dead. If Martin had finished the fucking books. So, the problem is when you're getting to the end of a show, and the reality is they could have kept stretching this goddamn show out if they wanted to, but you have to start tying things together at some point. So I think, yes, they did fan service, but it's also in a sense, at some point, the major characters are going to have to meet. They're going to have to be together. So it kind of does have to happen that way. So I'm going to do a Johnny Hedge and say kind of, if that makes sense. Because, I kind of like to make up things like Johnny Hedging.
Yeah, I felt that this season, they obviously moved the story along and there's a lot of excitement going on, it definitely was not up to par with the previous seasons. The pacing was so fast and just out of control. And it just seems like everything was like people would just show up to different places. Like this guy's in this area, and the next scene he's in this other land or this other castle doing some stuff. The pacing was really, really off. And it showed it just the predictability of the arcs, the story arcs was I think this was one of the worst seasons, even though it was the one that progressed the story the furthest. So I really wish they had 10 episodes to spread it out a little bit more, but I don't know. That's my thoughts.
I will say I really enjoyed this season. I'm going to put that up there first. I do agree. There probably should have been more episodes. I do like how they accelerate or how they really got into the story, really progressed things. That said, I feel there was way too much fan service. I think there was way too much catering to the theories out there and taking them into extra steps. And I think what that did was made it all predictable. There weren't a whole lot of surprises this season like we've had in the past Game of Thrones, the past six seasons. It didn't feel like that anything could happen. I still liked it, but it was still like Jammer, as you put it, too TV like, too basic TV, too much TV 101 in there.
Well, they definitely dumbed it down, and they don't have any source material to pull from. When you have the Game of Thrones books, they're 1,000 pages each, 5 books. There's a lot of stuff, material to pull from, and they're combining characters, mixing characters up, whatnot for the TV show. Now they're on their own, and it felt like they were kind of given like an outline, bullet points, and they just kind of followed those bullet points through. And it's a shame. I think they just didn't flesh out any of the story, any of the conversations, any of the actions. So we still don't even know what the hell the Night King's about and what his goals are. Like, you know, so he's just some guy's coming down. I don't know. He's Fonzie?
Pain, like Clubber Lang.
Oh.
His prescription? Pain.
Clubber Lang was one of the undead. Yeah. Jon Snow's fucked.
Well, no. Round one, the first fight, he's screwed, but he'll come back and beat him.
I still think, I mean, minus Jack, the show is still probably my favorite show. Breaking Bad's probably second. Even with the season, with them being more TV-like, it's still a good entertainment.
Oh, it's still best thing on TV right now.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all.
It's taken away, though, the first six seasons of, I truly never knew at any point if a character that I gave a shit about, and no matter how big of a star it was, could fucking die. And this year, I didn't feel that as much. I felt like, oh, they're trying to finish the story now. So these people are all going to be together. So it got away from that reality of it became more the good guy is going to come in and save you. Daenerys came in with the dragon and saved the day. You know, that where before, that's the beauty of Game of Thrones. Like the Red Wedding, there's no fucking hero that walked in the door and saved them, like traditional television. That would never happen in a traditional television show.
No, it wouldn't.
And they've gotten away from that in season 7. They've gone to the point where the hero would come in and save them from that.
And the plot armor is so thick for some of these guys. Yeah. It's just, I mean, even Tormund, you have Tormund on the wall. The wall's busting apart. But, you know, he's going to live so he can go be with Brienne and have monster babies.
Unless Jaime gets to her first. Big fight between Tormund and Jaime.
Oh, threesome.
Ooh, hey now.
Hey, okay, so I will say this. And going back to your point, Jammer, about how, you know, nobody was safe, I will say the one thing that disappointed me about the episode was that both Jaime and Tyrion lived. Because other seasons, they both could have been dead. You know, I mean, I think that was probably the most disappointing part, was that I figured at some point one of them two were gone. And when I saw her nod to the mountain, I thought, shit, there it goes. And then he walked off and nothing.
They're too pivotal for the plot and the story to die yet. I don't think all three of them will be alive at the end of the series. No. But I think as of now, the plot didn't progress far enough for them to go. But it's the other characters that, you know, there's a ton of people that can. Like, they could have had the Clegane ball. Like, they could have definitely had that this episode. And they probably should have. That would have been one of those guys going down. But.
So. All right. So, there you go. Game of Thrones Season 7. Season 8. Rumors. You know, nobody's sure when it's coming out. There's some rumors it might not be till 2019.
Fucking awful.
God. Ugh.
I hope not. I hope. I did hear Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, Aegon Targaryen, whatever you want to call him at this point. If he's to be believed, he said he starts filming in October. So hopefully that's a good sign that maybe we'll get summer of 2018. We'll get episodes again. We'll get the season 8, not have to wait another year.
After only 7 episodes, and the next season's only, what, 6?
Yeah, but I think they're supposed to be extra long ones. I don't know.
Yeah, they're almost going to be movie length. All 6 of them are. Yeah. I think they're saying 90 minutes minimum. Of course, they haven't started production yet, so that's taking
one final comment about this. And so you had Jon Snow and Arya Stark, and they always said they look the same. They're very similar in looking. They were different than the other Stark kids. Why does Arya look the same, or is that just coincidence or just Stark lines? Or because she doesn't look like the other Stark girls, and they reference it a lot in the books and they reference it on TV. I just didn't know if anyone had any idea, but maybe you can post in the forums, let us know, give us an idea.
Yeah, there you go. There's a good idea. Ask the group, ask the clan, because I don't know. I've heard the same thing that you have. I mean, I've heard the same lines. I've heard the same comments. But no, there doesn't even seem to be a passable theory on it. And Reddit theories everything.
So, yeah, post in the forums. Make up shit. I don't care.
Forums.grimreapergamers.com. We have a big
Jack
old thread
won't believe
on
it and
there.
Hate it no matter what. So
it's my job.
All right. So let's wrap this baby up. I want to welcome new members of the clan. We had a handful of people join, some on the PC side. We're going to get more and more here as Destiny comes out. So welcome. Find your niche. Find some people to play with. Post in the forums. Next show recording will be 9/12, September 12th. So we'll probably be talking Destiny at that time. Facebook page is facebook.com/GrimReaperGamers, and remember the forums, forums.GrimReaperGamers.com. Jammer, hit me with the Twitter.
It's grgamers.com. Spell out the dot, D-O-T.
And we have an email for the show, reapercast@GrimReaperGamers.com. We're going to close a little differently tonight. As many of you already know, Hurricane Harvey has just kicked the shit out of Texas. Corpus came up through Corpus Christi, up as far as Houston. Houston's a flooded mess right now. Tons of rain. They were talking, what'd they say, about 2 feet? And I think they're talking up to 50 inches in some spots.
Up to 50 inches of rain, yeah.
Up in the Houston area, up as far as Houston, I've heard. So a lot of us have friends there. We have Reapers there. Stay safe. Get, you know, if you're near the area, get out. For those who aren't in the area, if you can find a charity, if you can, give. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good charities, worthwhile charities that are going to start helping with relief efforts. It's sad to say, but this is what brings out the best in all of us. It kind of sucks that it has to be something like this, but, you know, do what you can. And those of you who are down there in that area, our thoughts and prayers are with you guys. Stay safe.